Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. It's Friday the 13th of January 2017. Unbelievable. Now folks can get this podcast over at thecrazfiles.com. This is, of course, the Crazz Files podcast. That's always C-R-A-Z-Z. Plenty to go through there, man. Heaps. I've just keep putting it up. So go over there and comment and see what you like. Subscribe to the podcast. You can also get them at iTunes. So a great way to get them there. And come over to Facebook if you're on there. You can also find us under the Crazz Files and also Twitter. I do have a YouTube channel, which I've neglected a little bit, but I'm going to start putting these podcasts up there again. Just a little visual thing for our followers there, because it's doing quite well. And you can also go on to opensourcetruth.com. Plenty of news articles going up there in relation to health. And you can follow those articles over at Natural Solutions Foundation page on Facebook. So plenty to go through, and we are ready to go tonight with my guest, Bernie Smith. And Bernie runs thetruthlibrary.info, which is doing fantastic work over there. And I linked up with Bernie ages ago on Facebook, so I've been... not many independent, real independent news outlets in Australia.
No.
Most of my guests are from the US, so I pump out a lot of US stuff, but we're trying to get the Australian... alternative news scene going, and there are some great folks been doing it for ages, but there just isn't a lot, and so we're kind of trying to do that. But Bernie's joining me for about an hour tonight for a chat. How you going, man? Good to have you.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Great to be here.
Let's, we could do this for a month. We just have so much to go through, but let's get stuck into this and talk about your website. Let's go there and talk about Truth Library, because I remember ages ago when you started this, you were sort of looking into it, and it's just you just built it from there, and it's done so well. And I've said this on a lot of shows here, that looking for certain information, in Google searches, and I use that term because it's so popular around the world, and your website's popping up everywhere in relation to what's happening to Australia anyway. And I did this on Conspiracy Oz with Mick. We wanted to focus more on Australian news and things that are happening, because we found that, a lot of overseas outlets were getting it wrong in relation to the news. And so we wanted to focus here, because people see Australia as this paradise and everything, and it's this democratic society, when it is anything but. You have to be on the ground living here to see it. So you're focusing on Australia a lot, you know. Yeah, you are. You really, and you know, I find you're putting out articles that are very unique, and so people can go onto my website, Crazz Files, and you'll see original articles tab that I've put up, and you'll see Truth Library stuff going up there as well, and that's all unique stuff. Tell us a little bit about that, man.
So it started off, obviously very active on Facebook and other social medias and stuff like that, but it was very hard if you saw something that was interesting and then, a couple of weeks later, you're even a couple of hours later, you're looking for that same link again. You can't find it anywhere. So that's kind of how it started, just a place where you can actually search for these articles. And I just put them up there. And, I went from there. I started doing some blog posts. And, we got some good tips and some good stories happening in Victoria here that I just had to write about, and I've been writing about, and it's obviously it's taken off a bit, and it's great, and it's just a great way to spend my spare time in a way.
It's a powerful thing to get a functioning website going and start getting the input from followers and listeners, and now you're moving on to audio, video sort of presentations on YouTube as well, well as a website. So it's as I said, we're pretty thin on the ground here in Australia for alternative news. I've been doing this myself for years and just doing my own thing. It's what I'm interested in doing. I enjoy it just like you do, and I wanted to do something and say something, get off my hands. I've funded it all myself, like you have. But it's a good thing to do, and it's a great thing to have your own website out there to put on it. What you like.
Exactly. And now that we know lately, about how much is censored on social media and even on Google and stuff. It's just great to have these websites where we can put out our information. And if people know where to go, then at least they can still find that information. So I think that's very important and powerful. And then obviously I've started doing these videos on YouTube, and it was more for me about I do these articles, and some are very lengthy, and I guess people, I know some people read them, but I know a lot of people, even myself, sometimes, you can't just read a whole big article. You don't have time for it. So, and I know how I surf social media, and videos are an easy way to get informed. So that's why I started doing these videos, to hopefully catch that, that other audience that's out there. That, because, every person we capture, every person that we can open their eyes is another one. It is, I guess once you open your eyes, you're not going to close them again. So that's what I always say. So.
Yeah, that's right. I was just trying to bring up Truth Library Eye Opener Episode 1, a recap of the Hennessy saga on YouTube. I'm getting a ridiculous ad in there. The YouTuber pumping ads into everything now on YouTube. You just want to watch a little clip for 2 seconds and it's got an ad in there, but people get the gist. You've got the Truth Library Eye Opener episodes happening now over on YouTube, and they're very glossy, very slick, to the point, and a great way to get out info. They're doing well already.
Yeah, well, I mean, just started, and hopefully we'll get some traction and people start subscribing and following. And, obviously I'll still do my articles as well. And, it's just I think it's a great way of getting information out there and getting people that not usually read articles. I think a lot of people nowadays don't really read anymore. They're just it's part of the problem in a way.
Yeah, they just want it to be presented in a certain way, fast. Yeah. Otherwise, they lose interest because they've got that attention span of a snapping back rubber band.
Pretty much. Yeah,
it's pretty horrible. People can't read books anymore. Not everyone, obviously. It's a lot of smart people out there, much smarter than I'll ever be. But it's just a lot of people. We've talked about this before, especially with technology doing all the work for everybody now, and so fast with Wi-Fi and everything. And you see people going on to phones and devices and everything, getting everything they want presented to them in a easily digestible manner way, quickly. And so when things get a little bit complex and you need to read through stuff and go through things, because this is a journey for me as it is you, your work on Facebook alone and on the website goes years back, as well as mine. So there's a lot of work we put out there that we don't get much in return in regards to money,
There's no money in this.
Not at all.
Hopefully one day. But
you have to be Alex Jones,
Well, anyway, it's I'm doing it because, well, really for me it started, might be a good story to tell, because of a good friend, Hank. I was just a father and didn't feel like vaccinating, and then these laws came out and I became part of a Facebook group, Unvaccinated Australia, and I became one of the admins, and then I got targeted by Mr. Hank because I was this admin on this Facebook page. And as soon as that happened, I'm the kind of person that if you push me into a corner, I'm going to fight. So I've been fighting ever since, and I think in a way he's actually created me.
Of course, you're talking about Reasonable Hank.
Yes, yeah.
I may sound a bit funny for you, but I'm doing a visual sort of podcast as well, so people can see the screen I'm looking at. So I might sound crazy to you, but yeah, Reasonable Hank is an online trolling network in Australia that. As you were talking about, anybody in the health freedom and truth movement that wants to maintain their civil liberties and their rights to freedom of choice.
Calls me an anti-vaxxer. And, I mean, yes, I haven't vaccinated my children, but I don't see myself as an anti-vaxxer necessarily either. I'm, I think anti-vax is actually a derogatory term anyway that's been made up to.
It has.
You know, like it's a, I mean, as you said, truth movement, pro-health, pro-choice, informed consent is actually my favorite one, informed consent movement. I think at least that's what people should have is informed consent in this. It's not 100% safe. It's a medical procedure. So people should have informed consent. When they go in, doctors should tell them this is what could happen, this is why we do it, but they don't. I think that there should be a lot more safety and thorough testing. I think that what we're doing at the moment is absolutely ridiculous, and they're just pushing these vaccines out without, yeah, any safety testing on the actual age group, and you know, any testing on multiple vaccines. It's just ridiculous, and then giving kids 10 vaccines in one go. It's just an ridiculous situation that we're in. And as you know, there's no debate, there's no transparency. I mean, even look at what happened to Trump when he starts talking to Robert Kennedy. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's just, he's anti-science and, you know, what's anti-science? I always ask people, you know, like, it can't be anti-science. Science is supposed to ask questions. Science is supposed to evolve, and science is supposed to, you know, like, people are supposed to question science, so we evolve into the next part of science. I mean, science has never been the same. People thought the Earth was flat, and I'm not a flat earther, so I don't think the Earth is flat, but, you know, I know some people do, but to me, you know, all that kind of stuff, it has evolved science over the years, and we're kind of stopped now in this place where science is settled. You hear that all the time. It's a ridiculous sentence in itself. I think if we put Einstein here and ask him if the science can ever be settled, he would, like, roll around in his grave, because it's just an absolutely ridiculous statement, which Premier Daniel Andrews said here in Victoria, last year somewhere. The science is settled. Vaccinate your kids.
Yeah, they're science.
And we're talking about pretty much every expert that they you know, like they have writing these handbooks, that they have, talking about vaccines on television. They all got conflict of interest with pharmaceutical companies. It's just the whole system is just absolutely ridiculous. And it's unbelievable that we've got a press that doesn't ask any questions. And, it's makes me very angry that we're in this situation where there's so much at stake here for our children and for humanity in itself. I mean, if only 1% of what I actually think is wrong with vaccines is wrong with it, it's going to have a massive impact on humanity in the next 50 to 100 years. It's just absolutely devastating. And, it seems that nobody cares about it enough to actually, hopefully now with Trump and RFK, we are going to get somewhere. I think that's great, because we actually need somebody to say, like, no, the science isn't settled. Let's have a look at these safety studies, and let's do real safety studies, and hopefully we're finally going to see that vaccines aren't safe, and we'll go from there.
That's right, and you mentioned the online troll Reasonable Hank.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I mean, you might know what this clown's name is, but...
he calls himself Peter Tierney.
Yeah, you don't know with these people, because they lie about everything.
To be honest, I think he's multiple people.
Yeah, they're liars, and they have multiple, you know...
I think he's not one person. I think he's multiple people. I mean, if he ever... I mean, it's funny, because we always get told that we're these, you know, like anonymous internet trolls. Well, you know, Hank, if you're listening, come on, mate, just tell us who you are. They'll be anonymous. You know, I've told him in the past, he knows who I am. And
they're obviously involved with the pharmaceutical industry in some way, shape or manner. But these trolls are everywhere. It's not just vaccines. It's anything that's destructive towards human life and nature, the fabric of nature, you know, GMOs, geoengineering, anything that's poisoning the human race and our children and our planet. You find these same gatekeeper trolls on there, and just flicking through the page, I feel like if I waste 5 minutes on this crap, that's 5 minutes I could have, used to do something productive, you know.
Sometimes it's just, it's not something you should do.
I'm just putting up here. He's just to explain to people these thug trolls who, you know, harass and bully and intimidate and stalk people, especially women, pregnant women, people, poor ladies who are looking after vaccine injured children, mostly by themselves sometimes, who have copped a hell of a blow. You know, they stalk these people and harass them, but people can see here, I'm just showing them that here I am, my name is here, calls me an anti-vaccination activist, and, you know, like
I was actually called a leading anti-vax activist, and,
I do lots of things.
I actually posted it on Facebook with a massive thank you, because... You know, coming from him, it's a big compliment, I guess. But
I don't understand why I'm an anti-vaxxer. I mean, I just want to preserve my health freedoms and my rights of choice. And like anyone, I think I don't want to live in a country where I will no longer have any rights over what goes into my body or my children's bodies, you know, and I don't want to live in a police state. I don't want to live in a medical dictatorship where big pharmaceutical interests have more rights over me and my children than what we do. And it's a stark reality that's starting to happen here. But yeah, he calls me an anti-Semite, and a homophobe and a racist. And this was because I put up information in regards to Israel's genocide in the Gaza, and, you know, that they use white phosphorus on the women and children there, which eats them to the bone, you know, and their war crimes in Gaza, that's all. And I didn't even write the material. I just put it up from other websites, copy and paste it on my site. So this guy doesn't have any facts. He doesn't have any credible science. All he can do is just... copy and paste people's comments from Facebook, as you can see here, people can see, and just put them up. This has been going on for years, just thousands and thousands and thousands of people's comments. That's ridiculous.
On Bernie's page, I've been actually, Truth Library Twitter feed, there's been a couple of tweets that I sent to Hanky Panky in the last couple of days. There's a couple of them, just... You know, like I took some screenshots of him retweeting and tweeting about the Robert Kennedy, appointment.
Mm.
And he seems really scared. So I asked him, you know, what are you worried about, mate? You always tell me you've got all the science behind you and we got nothing. So what are they worried? Like, this is my question to all the skeptics out there, you know, even though I think we're the skeptics, but yeah, it's a funny name. Why are you afraid of Robert Kennedy getting appointed to this commission? Why are you afraid of Trump looking into vaccines if you got all the science, if there is nothing to worry about for you? Because that's what they keep on telling us all the time. The science is settled, all the science is there. Well, I'm sure it'll come out then. You know?
Yeah, so, that's right.
So stop being worried, relax, sit back, and just watch us all crash into the rocks, because that's what was going to happen, I guess. But I don't think so. And I don't think they think so. And that's the funny twist here. I think they're very much afraid of what's going to happen. I think and I think the Offits and Pens and Enkies and all these people should be very afraid of what's going to happen if the truth comes out. Because, they're going to go into the books as child killers. I think they're going to be the next Nazis, to be honest.
If we're just conspiracy theorists and we're anti-vaxxers, what are they worried about us so much for? Why do they create these psyop pages? I mean, I've said before, this kind of stuff here is a psyop, and I mean that it's a psychological operation, this Reasonable Hank page, and it's done to get people off social media and stop commenting, because I've actually spoken to a lot of people who are very upset when they saw that their name was put up on this page. And it's a weird thing with humans, because they'll comment on these anti-vaccination pages on Facebook, and they think they're safe on there, but they're not, because these pages are filled with these trolls. And nobody even knows who's admitting these sites or who's who at the end of the day and who's trolling who. I said this years ago that when the anti-vaccination group becomes so big on Facebook, it's going to start getting filled with these trolls, and everyone's going to start turning against each other, and that's kind of what's happening. But this is an operation in regards to getting people to sort of flip out and not comment anymore and get off Facebook, and it's worked. very well in the past, but it isn't really working anymore because of the sheer number of people coming on board with us, because they know now it's not just about being an anti-vaxxer or a pro-vaxxer. This is getting on board to preserve your health freedoms and the health freedoms of your children and their children, our whole generations here, the future of our generations coming up. This is so important. We're in the fight of our lives, and we can't lose our rights because of these, you know, stooges and trolls.
I said, like,
sad stuff.
In a way, they've kind of dug their own hole. You know, like they really pushing for this, like, I don't know, it is 99% vaccination rate or whatever it is. And, you know, to get this anti-vax movement pushed into the ground so we can't talk anymore, where really they've just made us a lot stronger with all these, you know, laws coming out in America as well, in California, and with this SB 277 and SB 18. That's just creating these massive movements that are, you know, actually getting a lot more powerful because of these laws. In Australia, the no jab, no pay and no play laws have absolutely created a massive movement, have gotten us more united in ways that we never were, I think. I mean, I haven't been in this for so long, so I'm not too sure, but what I've heard from all the people that have been in this fight for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, that's what happened. And I think if they just kept the, you know, the conscientious objection form as an option, they wouldn't have had this problem of these massive movements and fights and blah, blah, blah happening at the moment. Because even if they made it really hard for people like you and me to sign this conscientious objection form, what if we had to go to a class and had to go see four or five doctors to get this conscientious objection form signed? We would have jumped every hoop they would have thrown at us to get this form signed, because we don't want to vaccinate our children, and we know why. So we're going to, you know, we're going to do what we have to do to don't do it. But instead, they made it impossible for us. And in a way, they've, you know, made people like me just stand up and fight, where, you know, yeah, I'm a fighter and I always want to fight, but they've seriously created a monster in a way by not giving me an option. And, you know, I'm never going to vaccinate my children. My wife had a vaccine reaction. And when we did vaccinate my oldest daughter, she had massive fevers and that night, and it was not great. And, yeah, I was actually, you know, we got sucked into vaccinating my daughter, even though we kind of knew better, and we still did it. And, yeah, she had fever that night, and I'll never give her another shot, because we all know what happens. It's fever the first time, and the second or the third time it might be autism, so or seizures. So, yeah, there is no way I'll ever give any of my kids a shot again, and that's that. So, you know, like, and it should be an option for me, because I know what my wife went through, and my wife knows what she went through, and I know I saw my daughter. So I think I know best. Better than his daughter, than his doctors, you know. Like, I know my kids and I know my wife, so I think I've got a point, you know. And we had doctors tell my wife it was a lot in life to have autoimmune disease, and there was nothing they can do about it until we went to natural health and she got detoxified from heavy metals, and yeah, it fixed her in a way. She's still not 100%, but she's definitely a whole lot better than she ever was. So it's crazy, but mainstream medicine cannot help you with this stuff, and they don't want to help you with this stuff. They just want to put you on medication. They were trying to put my wife on immune suppressants. It's an autoimmune disease. So we'll just suppress your whole immune system, and that'll fix it. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. I don't think people realize overseas, we have a lot of listeners around the world, particularly in the U.S., I say hello to them, and you know, I don't think people understand. I know they're going through the fight of their lives, but they've had some good news in the US. But, you know, I think it was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said to me the other week, you know, like, your government's crazy. I mean, they're really going hardcore on this issue, and they're not listening to the people. And I said this ages ago, you know, this no jab campaign, you know, no matter how you break this no jab fear-mongering propaganda campaign down, you know, it just stinks It's just rotten to its core. And, you know, and I said this ages ago, no jab, no play, no pay, no job. It's just going to roll on to everything, and they're still pushing it, especially in Victoria, which is a draconian police state, where you have Minister Jill Hennessy, Ministry of Truth, running the show down there. But, you know, I don't think people overseas in other countries realise how bad Australia is, and that's what we're trying to do here, is get this news out to people, because, you know, we're being censored here, we're having all sorts of weird things going on, and all the time our government's portraying themselves to the world as this great destination and this free, happy-go-lucky, sun-drenched country that's a pure democracy, and it's anything but. It's we're being experimented on here, and these draconian laws with vaccines, I don't care what it is. I don't want any companies, big companies or drug companies or governments telling me what I can and can't do with my children and my body. I'm in this to preserve my rights, you know, and as I said, my civil liberties, but this is a scary, scary thing that's happening, and as I said, I don't think people are seeing this overseas, how bad it really is here. You have to be here.
I've only been in Australia, well, just over 10 years now, and I'm obviously an Aussie now, and I love this country, and I made this my home. But, yeah, I always looked at Australia as, like, kangaroos and crocodiles and snakes and Crocodile Dundee and, you know, have a barbie on the beach kind of thing, which, I mean, in a way it is. But, yeah, this Australia doesn't have a constitution. It doesn't have freedom of speech. It doesn't have even freedom of expression, as far as I know. It's just ridiculous. Even the laws are absolutely ridiculous. It's not a free country at all. When you start figuring that out, it's pretty disturbing, because, to be honest, I think Australia could be the best country in the world.
Me too.
Very easily, if we actually, I mean, all we have to do is be a middle way between Iceland and Switzerland somewhere, I think, and maybe Venezuela or something. And, find that middle way, and because Australia could take care of itself. We could grow every food. We've got most climates in this country. We've got absolutely beautiful land to grow on. We've got, I mean, they say we don't have enough water. I think we got more than enough water. We just have to manage it better. All this stuff, and I think we could be an absolutely brilliant country that could take care of itself, that could, you know, step away from all the world powers and the US influence and become this beautiful, free country in the world. I think the potential is there for Australia. So
I think that's what Trump's doing as well. You know, Donald Trump seems to be doing that with America, just taking it back. Because they're being used and abused, very much so, and they're in the same boat as us. But you know, love him or hate him, whatever your opinion is on Donald Trump, look at what he's done with only a short time already in power. It's an amazing thing to watch. My hopes up for it.
I've been very disillusioned with political systems in general, with our democratic system. In general, so
it does.
I don't really trust. I always say, like, you can vote for two sides of a coin, and doesn't really matter what side you choose, and it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't even matter if you go for a different coin. In the end of the day, we need to change the whole currency. So, Trump might be a different coin, he might not be the ones or the other side of the quarter, but he might be the other side of a dime or whatever it is. But, I still think that he's part of that system. So I hope that he can do a lot of good, but he's still working in that same system. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that much, even if he really wanted to, because in the end of the day, the system is the system, and it's going to be very hard for him to push this stuff through and get things done.
Yeah, you're mucking around with pharmaceutical industry, which ties back to the Rockefeller Foundation, of course. Some big, powerful players, and they seem to be totally dominating in Australia as well, especially GlaxoSmithKline. This is a huge vaccine market that they're cashing in on, and, you know, now wanting the adults to be vaccinated. Of course, we had the adult vaccination register bring in last year of September. Yeah.
Do you know what vaccine is sold for, like, average? Because I was trying to look for that the other day, but I couldn't find it. But I did do some, like, quick numbers. And I could tell that, like, you know, every kid gets about 44 doses up to 4 years of age. So, you know, like, I mean, seeing that about a quarter of the population is under four in Australia, That would mean you're looking at 220 million shots of vaccines in Australia alone in a four-year period. That, I mean, I don't know, even, yeah, so even if they're a couple of dollars, I mean, it's hundreds of millions of dollars, and I think they'll definitely cost a bit more than a couple of dollars a shot. So I couldn't really figure it out, but if you see these profit margins that these pharmaceutical companies have, I think Merck dropped 2% the other day, and it was, I think it was, what was it, $3 billion or something off their market share? So, you know, they're worth it. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, don't hold me on that number, but it was billions. Yeah, so yeah, it's ridiculous what these companies are worth, and the vaccine market is massive. I mean, I read an article once, and it went into the profit margins on normal pharmaceuticals, which are up, you know, 5, 7, maybe 9%, the really good ones, you know, and then vaccines are from anywhere from 12 to 40%. Profit margins. So it's absolutely like, that's why they're pushing these vaccines so hard. And I've done a few articles on, you know, they're marketing a gluten vaccine. It's not a vaccine, it's medication. There's nothing to do with a vaccine. A vaccine is to prevent a preventable disease. It's immunization. I mean, I don't understand how gluten intolerance can have a vaccine, because if you're gluten intolerant, you change your diet and you probably feel better. Or, yeah, you can take this medication, and that's what it would be then. I don't care if it comes in a shot or not. If you still can eat bread, then that's fine. I don't think it'll do a lot of good to your body. But don't market it as a vaccine, because when you market something as a vaccine, it means that they don't have liability and the government takes over liability or the taxpayers. So, and I think that's why they're doing it. So they're creating all these vaccines that really aren't vaccines to up their profit margins, and they don't have to do the testing they do on normal medication. The profit margins go up, as I said, and they don't have liability anymore. So it's a massive scam that we're looking at, and nobody seems to get it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I was just looking at a pediatrician chart I put up on my website about how much they make, and it's unbelievable. Pediatricians can make $400 in the US per fully vaccinated child.
Yeah, from a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, they
and then if they have a fully vaccinated
40,000 a year,
they get a Hawaiian vacation or a bonus of $10,000 at the end of the year. So this is
managing fully vaccinated patients.
Yeah,
with bonuses and stuff.
So that's people like that don't want to vaccinate. They get letters and saying that, you know, you got to leave this practice because you're one of the five people that's going to cost me $10,000 at the end of the year. So can you please f off? Thank you very much. And it's ridiculous.
What's unbelievable in Australia that I've been, because I think you're the same as me. You know, we're kind of social commentators. We do alternative news, and we're looking at all sorts of issues, and it's amazing, of course, as you know, we've been lumped with Rupert Murdoch's News Corp in Australia, and, you know, they do control a large section of our printed media, and I just find it unbelievable.
76%, I think, was.
And of course, Rupert Murdoch's well known for, I mean, he's up to his eyeballs with
in Russia,
pharmaceutical industry.
If you would have Putin on 76% of the Russian media, we would hear about it all the time. Yeah, like it's a ridiculous number.
The public keep buying it.
First, on three quarters plus of the media, and you know, control the what comes out of the media, and you can see it here. There's not been, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I don't watch that much mainstream news and stuff. But I've been looking. I can't find any articles on Robert Kennedy being appointed the vaccine safety in Australia.
You won't get it. No. I actually did find one from the Sydney Morning Herald, I think, but it was a total hit piece.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, I did see that, yeah.
Nasty, vindictive reporting from the mainstream media mongrels in Australia.
Yeah, that's the only one I saw as well, yeah. I think you actually shared that, so.
It defies belief.
Yeah. And this is the whole thing, like, I mean, now they've got stories with breastfeeding and anti-vaxxers, and trying to say that breastfeeding is a bad thing to do. And I mean, we haven't survived as a human race for I think they say like a few thousand years in some parts of science, but I think we actually survived for a lot longer than that. And I don't think we evolved the way we did because we didn't have breast milk. I think breast milk is a very important part of,
breast milk are the child's vaccines.
Yeah, and breast milk
sets the child's immune system up for the rest of its life, especially at least more than 6 months. Breastfeeding from a healthy mother will connect and set that child's immune system up for the rest of its life. And in fact, most of the vaccine injuries that we're seeing because some of these children are being vaccinated, but they're not breastfed and they're formula fed, which is what they're pushing as well. So if you've got a formula fed infant eating this Nestle formula that companies are pushing and they're being vaccinated, danger.
And they had a cesarean at birth.
As well, yeah, there's a whole lot of things there. But, some children who are fully breastfed can pull through with the vaccines. But, of course, you've got to bring in the ultrasounds as well. The ultrasound doses and machines are doing the initial damage at a cell level as well. And that's linked up with autism. I've done many shows on that with Jim West.
Yeah, I've heard a few of your podcasts on that. It's disturbing. I mean, there's so much stuff out.
I can't get to the end of my vaccine damage page. I'm just showing it now, Bernie, you can't see it, but it's just, infants paralyzed, brain damage, vaccines. I mean, even the CDC here admitting failure of flu vaccine, all these people dying and being injured, putting wheelchair, brain damage. I can't get to the end of this.
Even if you say that it's one in a million that get severely damaged from vaccines. Now, 220 million vaccines in 4 years, that's 40 to 50 kids a year that get severely damaged from vaccines. So, but we still have Jill Hennessy saying vaccines are safe. It's safe to vaccinate your children. But 40 to 50 kids this is severe, is seizures for the rest of your life, cerebral palsy, autism, death, SIDS. I mean, those are the ones that are on the thing is, severe adverse reaction. So, I mean, they do happen and they're one in a million, but because of the amount of vaccines we're actually giving, I mean, I think 40 to 50 children is a lot. I mean, obviously it doesn't sound like a lot when they say one in a million, but when you look at it, it's 40 to 50 children a year. I think it's quite a bit. And, I would love to have a discussion with Hennessy. I don't think she likes it to me, but about this kind of stuff because – you can't say that something is safe when it's obviously not, and it never will be because
it's incredible. It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's
and she's a lawyer, and I don't understand how she can actually say this stuff as a lawyer, and think she can get away with this.
Let's rewind a little bit. Minister Hennessy is the minister of health minister in Victoria, so that's what we're talking about now, and. Her news, when she came out on national television, said there are no risks in vaccinating your children, no risks. That made it to natural news. We pushed it through to there. It went all around the world. I mean, people were shocked. Well,
so you had her saying that there is no risk in vaccinating your children, and then Daniel Andrews, the Premier of Victoria, was standing next to her and
like,
said,
like a Dracula.
Vaccines are safe and effective, just vaccinate your children. So...
standing behind her like Dracula, that's what he looks like.
Oh, yeah. And this is the state level in Victoria, but they're also the people that push these no-play laws in, which, pretty much means my daughters can't go to childcare and literally can't go. It's not even if you want to pay, you can go. You can't go because childcare centres just won't accept you if you're not vaccinated, and they are allowed to do that. So, not that I'm in a financial situation that I can actually pay for it without the government rebates, but, even if you are, it's very hard to find a childcare centre that actually would take you in because they're allowed to just say, no, sorry, you can't come. So it's obviously very discriminatory, I think. And, when she said that, a lot of because this is the story about Hennessy that we did on the Truth Library, a lot of people started going on social media and closed in secret groups, and they started writing, what's wrong with her? How can you say that? And a lot of people have vaccine injury in their family. They've seen it, and they know they're not safe, and it's not safe to vaccinate your children. So they got angry, and they were commenting on it on these closed and secret groups. and Reasonable Hank that we just talked about, he took these screenshots. And what we know now is that he, you know, most likely, and I mean, I'll say it is 99.99% sure, that he went to Hennessy with these screenshots and said, look what these anti-vaxxers are saying about you. And she was in a bit of trouble at the time over some babies dying in hospitals in Victoria, not related to vaccines, but to just bad hospitals. And so she decided that it was a good idea to take on the anti-vaxxers because I think that she is not stupid. And she realized that if she would take on the anti-vaxxers, she's not fireable. Because if she gets fired now, then we win. And they can't have the anti-vaxxers win. So she created this story so she could keep her job.
This was a story Jill Hennessy came out with. And the unbelievable thing about this is the Australian media, of course, the Murdoch media through News Corp, and also shows like The Project and these morning shows, they picked up on this story without even checking, any fact-checking at all. They just ran with this.
The worst part is that then it wasn't just me. We did an big story on it that was written by somebody else that did a great job investigating everything. She wanted to stay anonymous, but we call her the vaccine injured mum. She did an absolutely brilliant piece, did a lot of investigative work and found out a lot of proof, and it's all in the Twitter library if you want to have a look at it, about why Jill Hennessy lied and fabricated some of these tweets, and the rest of them were coming, and we can prove that they were coming from closed and secret Facebook pages. We can prove that Hank had prior knowledge of them. You know, because he was tweeting these tweets straight after she came out in the news.
So the health minister's working with known online trolls.
And yeah, that's pretty clear.
Very
and
clear.
He's been helping her on Twitter a lot, and you know, they go tweeting each other, and yeah, it's just a ridiculous situation. And then she liked a tweet from this. Well, I don't even want to, you know, give him too much attention because he doesn't deserve it, but glue ass, I call him.
Oh, the anti-vaccination.
Yeah, he does this.
The list guy.
He's got American people on there as well and other people from around the world, and he's pretty much he's an autistic guy. He thinks that autism is genetic, and if you even, you know, consider that autism is not genetic, you're on his list as a vile anti-vaxxer. And,
Right.
And there's people on this list that have never said anything about vaccinations. They just don't think autism is genetic. And they're on his list as anti-vaxxers. So it's an absolute ridiculous list. But he tweeted to Jill Hennessy, and Jill Hennessy actually liked his nasty work. He actually said, "Do you like my nasty work?" And Jill Hennessy liked his tweet. And we got proof of that, and then we got proof of her actually hiding that like later on, which is great because it shows that she realized that she shouldn't have liked it. But And then,
it's pretty terrible, though. I mean, for a health minister, that's serious stuff.
It's hate inciting. You know, it's absolutely, you know, like inciting hate towards a group of people that are families and fathers and mothers and grandparents and, you know, and children. And, it's disgusting. But, and then we had the...
I'm just showing your website here as well. So, Jill, you've got a lot. Lies, deceit, reasonable Hank, Lewis, and corruption in government.
Oh, and then the flyer up. Saga, the flyer with the 100,000 vaccines that the Victorian Better Health Channel put out, said that a child's immune system could handle 100,000 vaccines at once, which was, they quoted the research from Paul Offit and Plotkin and Orenstein, I think his name is.
That's just mocking people.
Three of the biggest, you know, vaccine whores in the world, I would call them. You know, they absolutely got no conflict of interest whatsoever. You know,
unbelievable.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
A child's immune system could manage 100,000 vaccines at once.
Yeah, it's just a ridiculous statement. And when I actually started looking into, as soon as I saw this, I was like, nah, this is ridiculous, and this is our next story on Hennessy because, you know, obviously she's responsible as the health minister, so the department. So and I started looking into it, and what I found out is that Offit actually said that a child's immune system could handle 10,000 vaccine antigens. There has never been done a study on it. There's never been a research on it. He just did a simple calculation in his head, like, oh, if you can handle this, then you could handle that, and you can handle 10,000 antigens. Then So he said 10,000, not 100,000. Now, later on in a different interview, he actually said, you know, you could handle 100,000 antigens, you know, in this formula. And that's all he ever said. But there is no scientific basis behind it whatsoever.
Nothing.
So they put this on a flyer in Victoria, in doctor's offices, and doctors just hanging on the wall. I don't understand how anybody can believe this. And the fact that a doctor or a nurse or anybody that's even slightly a medical person can just hang this on a wall without even thinking about it is just ridiculous, because it didn't say antigens, it said vaccines. And we all know there is a lot of other stuff in vaccines except antigens, because the antigens are obviously the working part of the vaccine, and there is a lot of adjectives like mercury, thimerosal, and aluminium, which, you know, we looked at the amount of aluminium and it would come down to about 15 times the amount that an adult could handle in the Hep B shot that would be given to this kid in one go. So you're obviously looking at massive metal poisoning if you give that much aluminium to a kid, and that was just the aluminium, nothing else. So did an article on that. That went viral, and then I got a message a few days later from one of our people that follows this story and said, have you looked at the website? Because the flyer is not there anymore. So they quietly removed the flyer. They never brought out a press release. Sorry, we're wrong. Child's body can't handle 100,000 vaccines.
This was after that you put it up on your website and we started sharing it as well. They took it down.
They actually realized that this is an absolute bogus claim, and it's actually really dangerous, because to me, it's just it's dangerous and it could be deadly, really, a claim like that. And the fact that they were actually proclaiming this as the health department is ridiculous. So they pulled it down, and I mean, obviously we got some evidence of that. It's also on the website. There's another article there. You know, and it just shows that there is no debate. Even when they make a mistake and do this flyer that has a ridiculous claim on it, they don't even want to come out and say, like, oh, yeah, we made a flyer with a ridiculous claim. Sorry, we've removed it. Don't you think that it would be newsworthy? I would have thought
nothing.
That a newspaper like a Murdoch newspaper, sensational that they are, would love a story like that where they go, doctor's offices lying on flyer or whatever the freaking headline was. But I could think of 100 headlines right here, you know, about this, because it's just a brilliant news story. It's got everything.
Well, they've got
children, it's got death, it's got, you know, danger, it's got, you know, it's got everything that they want in those sensational newspapers. So, but
newspapers have selective memory.
As well, so it doesn't get reported on, but it's just ridiculous. And we actually send out a official press release, we paid for it, on the Hennessy story before all this happened with the flyer, just on the tweets and how it was fake and all the evidence that we had on that. We send out an official press release that means that we can actually see that all these different press agencies and newspapers and, you know, television shows and everything. I think it went to 200 desks, email addresses, and I think 190-something of them opened the email. So they've read it. They know the story's out there. They just decided not to report on it. So, I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
That's the incredible thing. That's what I was alluding to before. They just seem to suffer from selective memory when it comes to these issues. But they just get up day after day on all the news channels and out of all the newspaper outlets in Australia and just lying through their teeth. Spread vicious, vindictive, nasty propaganda and fear-mongering. But then when it comes to this stuff, they just completely ignore it. I mean, at least in the US, you get a lot of news coming out of all sorts. But here, it's just what Rupert Murdoch wants you to see.
Yeah, but I think in the US, there's a lot of affiliates that are local, and they got a bit more freedom.
I was saying that on an older podcast about Jill Hennessy. Now, what if she had have done that, what she did here in the US? Would it be a completely different story? I'm wondering.
Well, I think that, like, if let's say that Melbourne and Victoria was a state in the US, I think that the local Melbourne Victorian news would have picked up on it. I don't think it would have gone national, though, to be honest. I don't think America is that great either where it goes national. I think that, you know, like, and it depends on the states as well. Obviously, California is ridiculous. at the moment. Like, they're seriously, I mean, you almost just want to write them off the way they've been going and the laws they're passing. It's just, I mean, I feel for the people there, to be honest, because, I mean, I think California's a lot worse than everything.
We should, as I said, I've said that before, we should join Australia and California together and we can call it Calaralia. Like, you know, that movie Escape from New York with Kurt Russell? We could just put it out to sea like an open-air prison. Just put everybody in there, you know?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Stories of people saying they should just cut off California from the rest of the US.
Oh, Australia's like California. We seem to be the same.
And then Hillary can run California because she won there. So, you know, like.
They can put her over there on the island, you know, and mix us in there and put Jill Hennessy in there.
No, yeah, she would look good next to Hillary.
She could be like one of those prison guards, you know, in those women's female prison movies, just tormenting them, you know, with needles.
It's just like, yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And then, you know, like, yeah, we did an, with the help of Peter Little, Graham, I think you've had him on the show.
Talk about Peter's work with the Corruption Commission and Minister Hennessy.
So you put her in there and then it turns out that she used to be working for the Corruption Commission. So obviously the Corruption Commission isn't going to do anything on her, but I mean, it still shows the corruption of the Corruption Commission, which is, you know.
Has anything happened on this?
No, they've just said, no, we're not going to investigate.
So this is a minister, a health minister in Australia who lied openly to the Australian people. There's proof on it. She lied about being attacked by the evil anti-vaccination community. And she's been put into the Corruption Commission, but nothing's happened.
And then she worked with an internet troll and a bully.
Openly.
And then she brought out false information and secretly removed it, quietly removed it. And, it's not corruption. It's nothing to investigate here, people. Nothing to see here. Just shut up and go away. Incredible. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
I expected her to apologise to the Australian people for lying and apologise to, you know, the entire health freedom movement, which she demonised and attacked, and stepped down. But instead, she's still up there today. And the problem with this is what we have now is a rogue health minister. And what I mean by this is that she now has a personal vendetta against this anti-vaccination movement, as they call it. We call it the health freedom of choice movement. But she has a personal vendetta. You can see it in her eyes. She hates it. And this is not good for a health minister. I mean, anybody in their right mind would have to ask themselves, okay, why is a health minister who's supposed to be a minister of health, she has no background in health, she has no background in vaccine science, she has
no
idea.
She
has no background in science whatsoever. And here she is manically pushing vaccines like a drug rep on steroids, you know, to the Australian people. I mean, even a drug rep doesn't put, even pharmaceutical companies don't push vaccines like Jill Hennessy does. Anyone would have to see the red alert buttons going off here and say, why is a health minister pushing vaccines so viciously and has this personal, vindictive, nasty vendetta against a whole movement of people? And I've said this millions of times on this show, Bernie, that a lot of people don't understand that many, many, many people in the anti-vaccination community, you know, a lot of these mums in particular were actually not anti-vaxxers at all. They vaccinated.
Well, exactly.
And they copped a vaccine injury with their children or themselves.
I vaccinated. And,
that's right. You're part of it.
Even after my wife was vaccine injured, we still vaccinated because of the, you know,
the information you were given.
Because of
the
push and because of the,
that's right,
you know, mainstream medicine saying it's safe, just do it. And because my daughter had high fever that night, I turned around and went, nah. And I did more research after that. And, I mean, I think we both, me and my wife, both feel very guilty for what we did. But unfortunately for us, our daughter is very healthy and she seems to be okay. And, but it's ridiculous because I don't think anyone is just going to go, oh, yeah, I'm anti-vax, because if you – you know, look at the health system. The whole health system is built around this. And I do think that, in a way, there might be a benefit from vaccines at some point in, you know, in the past history. It might have done some good for some diseases. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to make a statement about that. All I know is that they're not safe and they do a lot of damage. And as long as we just pretend that they're not, there's something really, really wrong with the system, because then greed and this corporate power and, yeah, corporate greed and pharmaceutical greed is just taking over. Greed. And, it's killing us, literally. It's killing us, and literally, you know, and I think it's just money. You know, like, I think that's the bottom line in all of this, is I think that money is what's screwing up the world in a lot of ways, and not just in, but, and I always ask these pro-vaxxers or people that are skeptic, you know, of my views, I ask them, I said, like, just think about this, and I ask people to actually think about this for a while and say, take this home with you, yeah, and go and come back to me and have a good think about it. Why do we need a health system, a well-being system that is profitable? Why, if we live in a democracy, in a free world, in a free country where we pay taxes and, you know, the government is supposed to, like, make sure that we have a nice life, why is it that there is these people that have to make billions and billions and trillions, you know, over our sickness and our not being healthy and medicating us and, you know, our well-being? And it's a ridiculous system, because it'll always, you know, that's how economy works and it's how money works. People will always choose the profitable way and not necessarily the right way for our health and our well-being. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's not just vaccines, it's in the whole health system. And
that's right.
Yeah, it's incredible that people don't see that. They all know how greed works, and they all know, like, oh, yeah, bankers, and but they don't get that it goes a lot further than just the bankers, you know?
Alternative health is actually modern-day drug medicine, you know? Natural medicine is the real medicine, and, you know, the first, pretty much first recorded written scripts and texts, you know, on Earth are herbal-related. I mean, we know, as you know, and Peter Little are working so hard with, you know, there's a disgusting attack on natural therapists and therapies now in Australia. They're attacking, of course, homeopaths. I use homeopathy, homeoprophylaxis for our child. I've done my research. That's what I want to do. It's my choice. It's my bloody choice. And, you know, they're even attacking vitamins and mineral supplements now. They're attacking yoga. They're attacking oxygen therapy, chiropractic. you know about this because you've followed it, but you look at the Murdoch papers and you look at these columnists and what they're writing, and you instantly link it up to people like Reasonable Hank and these trolls, and you link it up especially to friends in science and medicine and the skeptics as well. It's all the same material coming out, but I've said this to Peter many times, I've never seen such an attack. I never thought I would see that in Australia, because I go to my local health food store, you know, I get like raw chocolate powder and bee pollen and things, bread, whatever it is, oils, things like that. I shop there, and it's unbelievable to see this attack. And I've spoken to people who own health food stores, and they said there is, you know, they're making it very hard on them. And they are openly attacking anything, as I said, that is wholesome and good, that is connected to nature in any way, because these people are Satanists and they're atheists and they're against natural law, and they hate families, they hate children, and they hate life.
And they're even afraid to just open their mouth and say something about, and this is the main problem I see in Australia, is that people are afraid to talk about vaccines in a negative
form. Right, that is really disgusting.
It's exactly right. And then I've got a soundbite from Minister Hennessy saying, like, because when she did the tweets, that's what she actually said in one of her soundbites, was like, oh, we should have a constructive debate. Well, let's have a constructive debate, Jill, if you're listening, please.
They won't debate.
No, exactly. There is no debate. There is just fear-mongering and intimidation and harassment. And, you know, if you open your mouth and you stick your head out on the anti-vaccine level, you just get your head chopped off.
They shame you.
With Reasonable Hank is the first five search terms on Google if you're Googling your name. And they're very good at it.
That's done to shame people. So, as I said before, that's done to shame them so they get scared and they back off.
Well, I mean, like, once I'm up there, I'm up there. So it's not going to go away. So, you know, to me, it's almost like if I'm up there 25, 30 times, if the first two pages are all reasonable Hank and all this stuff about me being a fellow anti-vaxxer, that kind of looks like I'm getting targeted. And, you know, people will go like, holy crap, what's happening there?
At the end of the day,
you know, if I've only got two, it kind of like makes more of an impact. So I've kind of gone hard and hoped that, you know, maybe every page, if you Google my name, will come up with.
At the end of the day, what have you done wrong? I mean, like anybody, done is come out and talk about that you've done your research.
If I do something illegal, yeah. And I've told this to Hank because I wrote an article about him and I associated him with pedophiles and he didn't like it. He still doesn't like it. The skeptics and the Australian skeptics and the American skeptics and Friends of Science, they did associate with James Randi, who turned out to be a pedophile. They do support all these people that are most likely involved with Pizzagate at the moment. The skeptics and Hank and, you know, those people are part of what they support. So I don't know if they are pedophiles. I'm not saying they are pedophiles, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't look like they are, you know, on the right side of history here. And I called him out on that and he doesn't like it. And he threatened me and I said to him, I said, sue me, mate. You've got my name. Just sue me. But he can't sue me as reasonable Hank. And I think that if he, you know, actually comes out with his real name, there'll be hundreds of people going after him.
That's the thing. People are going to take advice from trolls who don't even want to have their voice or photo or name or anything out there. Then I mean, these people never offer one shred of anything that would even resemble a fact. Nothing they say, like the health ministers, are grounded in science nor reality at all.
Well, and the other thing that happened, which was really interesting, was when that flyer came out about the 100,000 vaccines and I did my first article about it, I had all the trolls from the Friends of Science and the skeptics coming out and telling me that, you know, there's an asterisk there. You know, just read the vaccine sixth edition book that it was asterisk, you know, that was the reference. So just shut up, you know? It's science. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, obviously, I had some point because they pulled the flyer off the website and I wouldn't have done that if I was wrong. So I guess I had a point. And the really, really disturbing thing is that these people that were attacking me, a lot of them are doctors and scientists. They're virologists and, you know, I'm a virologist for 20 years. I know what I'm talking about. You get those people telling you to shut up because there was an asterisk there and, you know, there is science there, so just shut up. And I actually did the research, and I saw there wasn't any science there. So it shows that, what, you know, like when they say, oh, science, you know, like there's an asterisk on there, they don't actually read the science. They don't actually do the research, and they tell us that we don't do the research, and especially Hennessy always says that, like, don't go to a quack on the internet. Yeah, well, please come to me, because I think I know a lot better than these people, and I've proven it. So it's, you know, and I'm not saying that I know everything about health, you know, as I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist, but, you know, it was just ridiculous. Like, these people were just attacking me and attacking me and attacking me and telling me I was wrong. And I would like to ask all these trolls, and I've asked them in that next article, like, hey, please tell me where I was wrong, because, and why is this flyer removed now? Because obviously they didn't remove the flyer because they were right.
So, I think these people have been getting away with murder for a lot of years here, and they've been sitting on top of their little troll perch up there and being able to bully and vilify and attack anybody. It was like that when I first went onto Facebook there. Anyone who dared to say anything about pro-health choices, you know, these trolls would just come in and just push them out and maintain their top of the pecking order sort of thing. And I've mentioned this before. I've noticed with the Murdoch papers, when they bring out these nasty articles attacking people who simply choose not to vaccinate their kids, you know, you've seen them, Maria Bilias, you know, calling parents who don't want to vaccinate their kids, child abusers, like child abusers. Claire Harvey just coming out and saying that we're child killers. Jane Hansen, of course, killers. Yeah. She just had an article like that. This is unbelievable. But
child killers, child neglectors.
They're constantly saying that we're the ones who are these horrible people in the health freedom movement when they are, and the media are no different than these trolls. And you look at all these articles and there's no science or any links that you can.
And I always wonder if these journalists are just really, really stupid and just, you know, follow the narrative and just think that they're writing the truth. Or did they, you know, that's always my question. I mean, I know that Offit, I think he knows. Yeah, I think he knows he's wrong. I'm pretty sure about him. I think that, you know, like DiStefano at the CDC, who was like, you know, like pushed away science, and these people that were at these meetings in Simpson Wood in Georgia in 2000, these people know what they're doing, and they've been knowing for almost two decades now what they've been doing. And I think there's a lot of people that don't know, that do think that they've got the science on their side and just don't know any better. And I think there's a lot of doctors like that, because I think the term indoctrinated makes a lot of sense when you look into this. But,
You bring up an important point there because, you know, George Orwell in 1984 coined that. He called it doublethink. These people that know that they're doing something wrong, but they continue to do it anyway. You know, because we have morals. If I knew I was hurting people or children, I would flip out. I wouldn't be able to do it. But they can know that what they're doing is this sort of slow motion, almost destructive. Thing going on. But go home and be with their family and live a good, comfortable life as well. And I think that's a sociopath.
I'd be very financially comfortable.
But it doesn't matter how much money I had. I couldn't live with myself. I just couldn't do it.
Money makes life easier, but yeah, I couldn't do it. I've said, I think it's a year ago now, and a threat once. And I said, like, there's going to be, you know, the Atlanta trials. I think they're going to be, because the CDC is in Atlanta. So that's why I call them the Atlanta trials. I mean, we had the Nuremberg trials for the Nazis. I think there's going to be the Atlanta trials for these people at some point, and maybe not too far away now with Robert F. Kennedy coming out. Hopefully it really does change something. I mean, I can't celebrate too much yet, but...
I've never seen such a change in my life. With the vaxxed movie, and I'm just looking at the spider from the CDC now, these scientists that have come out. I think it's starting to overflow now, and I think once people start coming out, and I think this is very important because once we start getting these whistleblowers, and I think that's what's happening now, it's rolling on, and then you're going to get people just in general day-to-day life who are going to find their voice as well and get more confidence.
When Robert Kennedy starts investigating, I'm hoping that people that are not the main instigators but were part of all these cover-ups, and there's not just one at the CDC, and it's not just the CDC, it's every pharmaceutical company, it's, you know, the TGA in Australia and the FDA in America. There's so many things, so many pieces of the puzzle that are involved in this, and I'm hoping that some of these people will go, well, I just did what my boss told me, but now I'm going to end up being hung for it. No, screw that. I'm going to come out. And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that these people will actually, you know, like go, no, that's it. I'm talking. I'm going to start. And once one or two come out, more will come out. And I reckon that in the end, the Offits and the Pens and the Stefanos and Gerben Durbens, I don't even want to pronounce her name, you know, we'll end up at the Atlanta trials, as I call them, and they might even get the death penalty because in the end, I mean, how many children did they really, really kill? I mean, I think they killed a lot of children and knowingly, and then just looking at the autism epidemic, if we can even prove that 1% of autism is caused by vaccines, well, holy crap. How many trillions of dollars is that? And, you know, like, this is like a million times bigger than tobacco ever was.
But they're using the same tobacco lies, aren't they?
They're using the same lies. Kennedy saying that it's the same. They use the exact same junk science as tobacco was using. They're using the same terms as tobacco was using. There's a lot of parallels with tobacco, but I think that in this instance, there's a couple of big differences. And the first one is that governments have taken liability over these vaccines, yeah, and there's no liability for the vaccine manufacturers. And the second one is that it goes 100, or thousands of times more money. And I think that when you start looking into lung cancer and all that stuff, it's horrible. People dying from smoking, it was horrible. But now we've got kids that are going to be, you know, having to be taken care of for the rest of their lives because they've got autism. And we're not talking a small amount of people. We're talking, you know, a lot of kids, and they're not going to die. They're just going to have people take care of them for a very long time. And it's not cheap. And when you look into that, the kind of compensation, I don't know. And I heard something very interesting the other day. I think it was Greg Wyatt saying it, that there is actually a clause in the Vaccine Injury Act that states that if there is known fraud, and they known that they were committing fraud, and they known that it was dangerous, and they still continued, that the vaccine manufacturers could still be liable. So, and I guess that's the key there. If the, you know, like Robert Kennedy with his vaccine commission can prove that these vaccine manufacturers knew that there was problems with it, that the CDC knew there was problems with it, and they told the vaccine manufacturers, then, you know, like then a Merck, for example, with the Gerber-Derber, being at the head of Merck now, the vaccine division, and getting a good payout, but being at CDC when the Vex story was there with the autism, she obviously shows that there was a definite link. So then if that can be proven, then Merck would be bankrupt. That would be the end of Merck. And I think that would be one of the best things that could ever happen to humanity, to be honest.
That's right.
Yeah, but
you're not getting any of this in the Australian media, aren't you? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Just looking at that CDC spider, I mean, this article's calling it the biggest medical whistleblower event in history. I mean, these people in the CDC are saying it's totally corrupted by the pharmaceutical industry, skewing all the results, and we didn't hear it in Australia from our media.
Yeah, but it's not just the CDC, it's the FDA, it's every medical journal in the world, it's every medical university in the world.
All the newspapers, everything.
It's, if you'll actually start looking into like how much the pharmaceutical industry has bought itself into the whole system.
It's a cancer.
Yeah, it's taken over the whole system, and it's making a lot of money. And this is the other problem we've got. We've got, you know, like obviously all the people in the world that have power are very rich. Now they want to invest their money in safe and very lucrative investments. What's the most safest and most lucrative investment in the world? Pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, the Turnbulls and the Gateses and all those people of the world, they would have a vast amount of their wealth invested in pharmaceutical companies.
Just like Malcolm Turnbull, yes.
I mentioned him because we would have. And, I mean, this is part of the problem because, you know, losing 2% on Merck, you know, if you got 10% or 20% of your assets, you know, invested in Merck, that hurt you a little bit on your bottom line. So, and that's only from a little bit of a rumor. Like, imagine if it actually comes out that it's true. I mean, it could wipe out these people's billions in no time, and they know it. And, I mean, at the moment, it's the best investment that you could do. I mean, if you've got money from an economical standpoint and, you know, wanting to make money standpoint, the pharmaceutical industry is your best bet. And even during the financial crisis, I think the average pharmaceutical company was, I mean, actually CSL in Australia went up since 2008, went up 500%. You know, vaccine manufacturer in Australia, 500% raise in value. And during a time in economics that really not much went up. So, it's ridiculous. Like, if you invested in that, it's better than the housing market in Australia. And the housing market is a sham in Australia. So, it's ridiculous.
It was amazing that I put an article up on Malcolm Turnbull pushing mandatory vaccination rollout, but also having lucrative shares in Big Pharma. And Turnbull government, no jab, no pay, Facebook messages.
Works for one, I think. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's all. Yeah. Malcolm Turnbull has shares here in pharmaceutical companies and cigarette maker British American Tobacco as well. So he has a lot.
Well, he's definitely not ethical. We can.
No, anyone can see this. I can put it up. It goes through Malcolm Turnbull's holdings, Microsoft Corporation, ExxonMobil, Johnson & Johnson, goes on, JP Morgan, Amazon, Pfizer Inc., lots, and also Lucy Turnbull, as you mentioned, she's with a Prima Biomed company as well. She's going to remain the chair of Australian biotechnology company Prima Biomed. So they are in a clinical stage immuno-oncology company currently in product collaborations with Novartis and GlaxoSmithKline.
And I guess if they get their product on the market, that Lucy will make $100 million.
Of course they do. That's the thing. And and it's the same with Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch just uses his newspapers as a propaganda arm to sell products to make him richer. And, you know, the Australian public are just buying it up and eating the soup of propaganda and without questioning any of it. And I don't know who would honestly take the Murdoch papers seriously anymore, but going back to what I said before, yeah, I noticed that the Murdoch papers, when they bring out these propaganda pieces attacking families in Australia for simply not wanting to vaccinate, and vaccinations are the biggest scam ever perpetrated on the human race in regards to health ever, and, you know, I notice now that the none of these articles, they're written by columnists. I mean, these people look like they've had too many Chardonnays. They don't know anything about health. They don't know anything about vaccine science. They know nothing. And they sit on their laptops and they pump this mongrel science out and ridiculous propaganda nonsense out. And we can't go on there and comment. I've tried to comment on many Murdoch papers and it just says pending and disappears. We tried to do it many times, and now you go on there and it's just all trolls commenting. So the trolls, you know, these science skeptic trolls are also following all the Murdoch papers. And this is what's happening in Australia. It's really horrible.
Same on the Hennessy page.
I'm just saying, it's all this same group.
I was one tweet and I was blocked, and one Facebook post and I was blocked.
They block you.
And it's just, you know, like I can't write and I can see all the comments, but I can't actually comment and I can't actually post my articles on her page. And yeah, I'm sure she doesn't want to see it and I get why she's doing it. But it's, you know, it just shows the censorship and the, and this, you know, like people don't actually get to see the real story. And the worst part is that people still think that, you know, I hear this a lot. Oh, if that's true, why is it not in the news? And you just want to, you know, run your head into a wall and
it's all covered up.
Like, that's the whole problem.
I've also noticed, yeah, of course, here that on all the TV stations and morning shows and these mongrel radio loudmouth shock jocks and Murdoch papers and everything, they can get up there as much as they want and crap on with this nonsense and propaganda without ever showing one actual bit of document. Like I'm saying, you know, if these people are going to get up on these shows and through these papers and say that unvaccinated children are our children, and I know how healthy my child is, you know, I mean, they're going to say that our children are a threat to the community and all this, then supply some fucking evidence. Supply some facts. Show us the money. I want to see some actual scientific-backed, non-biased propaganda showing that an unvaccinated, healthy child is a threat to the Australian community, but they don't do it. And they don't need to anymore. And as I've said before, with these Murdoch papers, all they need to do now is just put anti-vaxxer in the heading, and for most people out there who are brainwashed by this mind soup, that's enough for them to make up their mind without even needing to read the actual article. You know, and it's just horrifying that this is taking place. It really is. And, you know, I noticed on that morning show, Sunrise with Koshy, when Wendy Lydell was on there, she's written a book on raising vaccine-free, you know, children. She's an intelligent, incredible lady. She was on this podcast with me. And Koshy brought up this guy who's a pediatrician or something with a beard. I don't know his name. And he was pushing vaccines. She was hammering them. She was hammering out so much great information. And Koshy just couldn't handle it anymore, and he's like, are you a doctor? You're not a doctor? We don't need to listen to you. So, you know, in Australia now, you're not able to do your own research and your own study because you're not a doctor. Is what they're getting away with.
I just got to stop you here, because just to go back on the Hennessy story, I just got an story here that was posted in August 7th of 2016, and it's about the Minister Hennessy, you know, like, should resign because she reinstated the thoroughly discredited whooping cough cocooning vaccine for fathers, but as a health minister. But what is actually worse is that she was, while in the opposition before this, she received specific and ambiguous advice from the Victorian Health Department's Professor Chris Brooke that vaccinating parents was totally ineffective in protecting newborns from whooping cough.
Of course.
So she knew, and it's just, you know, it's just another one that I'll put up shortly on the Truth Library.
I just put up a CDC document on that.
Yeah, it's just, but this actually shows that she knew. I mean,
so you wonder what you're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. And yeah, this was obviously posted in August of last year. And she's still there. So she must have some very high-placed friends, or, I don't know, she must have some really good dirt on some really high-placed people. I don't know what it is, but I can't believe she's still there. It's just
It's scary, isn't it? And, you know, we just had news on Health Minister Lay.
Yeah.
They're saying her front bench career is finished, but, of course, the taxpayer have got to fund this horrid woman into her grave, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, which has been unbelievable because you get fired from your job and then you just get $130,000 for the rest of your life.
So, this is Health Minister Lay having lavish holidays on taxpayer-funded money and buying nice apartments up on the Gold Coast. She went
on a taxpayer-funded New Year's Eve party and flew business class.
With funding from liberal donors.
And it's just...
Oh, my God.
They tried to lie about it and, I mean, it's just...
They're lying about it. And the thing is, when these people step down because of this terrible stuff they're doing, as I said, they still get funded very well until they die.
And they can't actually take it away. Because even if we change it now, these people will still get funded into, the grave.
Unbelievable!
It's like people like I think Joe Hockey was the foreign minister, I think, in the last cabinet in Australia, is a good example, who then quit the cabinet, got his because he was a minister, he got I think it was 128,000. Don't hold me on numbers, but it was somewhere around there. It was way over 100,000 anyway. That he would get a year just for doing nothing, just for quitting after 3 or 4 years or whatever it was. And then he got a job as the ambassador in Washington, the U.S. The Australian ambassador for the U.S. And that pays $370,000 a year. So he's almost half a million now, or close to half a million, or just above half a million for being the ambassador in New York. And then he charged the Australian taxpayers $40,000 for babysitting. Now, I don't know, but would you, if you make half a million, wouldn't you be able to pay your own babysitter? It's actually allowed.
They're mocking us. Whatever the people allow them to do, they'll just keep getting away with it. They're just pushing the limits all the time.
And this Lay, she just pushed it a bit too far, and she obviously doesn't have the right friends, because if you have the right friends, you get away with this stuff, I'm sure. And she wouldn't have done it if not everybody else is doing it. She wouldn't have been that stupid to go to a New Year's Eve party, government-funded business class tickets, if nobody else was doing it. I don't believe that. I just believe that she was thrown in front of the wolves because of some other thing she did, and I don't know what it is, but I don't call me a conspiracy realist or... whatever you want to call me, but I don't believe that she's the only one doing it. I don't think people are that stupid to do stuff like that, because these people are not stupid. They're not in. They don't get a job as a minister for being stupid.
I just think they get too comfortable in that type of lifestyle, nothing ever gets done, and then they will eventually make that mistake.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy what they get away with, and we had the Victorian minister, I can't remember his name, who was, getting his chauffeur, taxpayed chauffeur to drive his dogs from his wife's house to his house and to his office. His dogs.
God. And
it ended up to I think it was more than 10 grand or 20 grand, I can't remember the numbers, but it was a lot of money for driving some dogs around Melbourne. It was literally what it was. And it was just, it's just ridiculous, what do you think? I mean, we get paid, in a job, and even if you have a good job, you need to pay your own babysitter. So why don't they pay for their own babysitters? It's just, isn't that why you get paid, so you can pay for that stuff? It's just, You know, like maybe they'll go to Coles too and put that on the text barrier too. I don't know. Like go to the grocery store and put that on the text barrier. Like what do they actually pay for themselves is my question, because it's just, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're just getting away with stone cold daylight murder.
Yeah.
In this country, you know, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. We can't have these people doing this. It just can't go on.
Yeah, I think what I really think is that they throw one in front, you know, like if you piss off the wrong person or, you know, you don't do what you're supposed to do, they'll just throw you in front of the bus and, you know, that's when you get outed in the press. But I think they've got, I think they all do it. I think they all do this stuff and they all got,
This is what the pedophiles do as well, you know. They seem to, you know, you get Rolf Harris and these sort of older celebrities, they seem to just chuck out, but the head of the snake never gets exposed. Like in the Vatican Church, you know, they never can expose the actual real pedophiles up there at the top. But every now and then you'll get these politicians and celebrities and people thrown under the bus in regards to that subject as well. You know, it's the same sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was a good example. It was like, if you actually look into that a bit, which I did a few years ago, it was like either him or the whole cesspool would have opened, and then Bill Clinton and a lot of other like really high ranking people, I can't remember all the names, but Bill Clinton stands out. And it was, I think Bono and Bill Gates and everybody that's been on that plane, and obviously it was easy to find information. So they needed to throw this guy under the bus to save all the other people.
That's right. And that's they protect their own. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so, he got thrown under the bus, and
I don't understand.
He was a pedophile. Yeah, he had an island. Yeah, he had all these rich people and all these influential people coming to his island. You know, but yeah, they never knew about his pedophile stuff. You know, yeah, Bill Clinton was on his plane, I think it was 7 times or 8 times. You know, like, it's just, he didn't know. Yeah, you can't tell me he didn't know. Like, you know, like, it's just ridiculous. And the fact that they say they didn't know shows that they knew and didn't care. It's, I don't know. This whole world, we need a big shaker.
I'm just looking at your website now from James Molino. Acting Victoria Premier, 4th of January 2017, the scientific evidence is crystal clear vaccines are safe, and there is simply no excuse for not immunising your children.
So
what the hell is going on here?
So Mr. James Molino, just come out and support Trump's efforts into vaccine safety, because they're safe.
God damn.
That's been my whole point in the last 2 days.
But these crazy people just getting up there like that.
You know, like, and he doesn't have any scientific background.
He's got some guts.
He actually studied politics, I think it was. And he was a bricklayer.
Who the hell is this clown?
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah. So that's what it's ridiculous. And he's obviously Minister of Education.
Insane.
And so this is the scary part, because the education department in Victoria has been very pushy with all these vaccines as well, and they're actually pushing for primary schools now to have vaccine standards, and they haven't mandated it yet, but they're getting to the point where you get, you know, like, it makes it really hard for you to enroll and really hard for you to
your children are being treated like lepers, and your parents are being treated like terrorists. That's what's happening, and these people are numbskulls who know nothing. What does this idiot know about vaccine science? Nothing. What does he know about what happens when you inject multiple vaccines into a child's body, how its immune system's going to react, and the complex issues that could arise from that? Look at him. I can't believe it.
And he's got kids.
I don't understand this.
And I think this is one of those clowns that actually doesn't know any better.
Are they actually sociopaths, or are they actually just dumb?
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that they're just, you know, like, they listen to I mean, this is the problem. You've got this whole medical system and all these doctors, you know, like, this is what's wrong as well. So you've got the profit in the health system, and then you've got this problem where a doctor goes to medical school and studies medicine. Why are you studying medicine? You should be studying the human body. And there is no – why is it called medicine in the first place? It shouldn't be – like, why are we looking at medication as the first avenue? It's just the ridiculous, you know, like the whole system is just so crooked. And even these doctors don't understand how they're getting sucked in. And yeah, obviously we had the skeptic conference here where I actually followed Graham around a little bit when he got kicked out of the skeptics conference. I can out that now, and I was there as well. I got asked to leave as well. I wasn't on Facebook Live though while it happened. They didn't know I was Bernie Smith though when they asked me to leave, so that was pretty funny. Maybe now they realize. it's all these students walking around there that have, you know, get these little badges on Skeptics Conference Australia, and they feel important that they're going to hear all these people talk and blah, blah, blah. And all they hear is people going like, oh, you need to whack them more when it's natural health and natural health doesn't work and blah, 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 blah. And these are the professors telling the students, you know, and most students will just take it in. It's like, okay, that must be true then. And this whole, like, these whole generations of doctors just getting indoctrinated and into the system. And it's really sad, really. I mean, and the ones that do ask questions, and this is the problem, because you end up in a massive student loan if you want to be a doctor. And then you actually realize what's going on and you want to talk, you want to start talking up, then you can't. You've got this massive student loan for, I don't know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, you're going to lose your job and your income. And you're going to end up with this massive debt that you can never pay off without a career, and it's the end of your life. So why would anybody talk out, you know, they start talking? It's just, they make it impossible for you. This whole system is created around, you know, like stopping people from talking. And
some very strong individuals like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr.
Oh, exactly.
Labo,
you get a lot of older doctors that start
come out.
You know, that are in their 50s and they paid off the student loans and they, you know, like they know they, you know, they can't really get to them anymore. And those are the ones you see on the Vex bus too.
These are the same
GPs
people.
And the older, you know, like in the 50s and the 60s, that are like, you know, I've seen this all my life and I actually want to say something about it now, because they know that they can't touch him anymore. But it's the ones we need are the younger ones. And
being indoctrinated, you know, into this.
And even if they figure it out, they can't talk. Because what happens. This Cleveland doctor from the Cleveland Clinic just a few days ago, and he saw the media storm that he got for just saying that maybe it's not so safe. Yeah, it's always said. He said, I don't know if vaccines are 100% safe or something in that matter.
You can't even mention, you can't even talk.
And his clinic got attacked and, you know, like he should have been fired and the Cleveland Clinic should lose their license for being a clinic and blah, 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 blah. And there's hundreds and hundreds of skeptics and trolls and like all attacking on Twitter and blah, 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 blah. And if you check Reasonable Hank's feed, his fucking feed is just, you know, Reasonable Hank retweeted these tweets, and these tweets got like hundreds of retweets, you know, all of them, because they just all retweet each other's tweets. And, you know, it looks like this massive media storm. Really, it's only a few hundred people. And, you know, like it's not, but they're very effective in that way. And, and the people fall for it. And then the media picks it up and starts writing these stories about this anti-vax doctor, which is not what he is. And then, fortunately for him, Trump came out with his Robert Kennedy appointment and it kind of took the heat off him. But otherwise, they would have still been talking about him. It's just, yeah. It's ridiculous. And they're trying to show all these other doctors, just keep your mouth shut, because this is what will happen to you.
That's right.
If I was a doctor, I'd keep my mouth shut too, man, because it's ridiculous what happens to you if you open your mouth.
Well, a lot of them have got families and a
crew. You know, that's
money.
My life.
Yeah.
I mean, that can't get to my livelihood, you know? Like, I mean, it's, you know, it's not that easy for them to stop me from making money. And, And I obviously, I don't speak out of a specialist and or, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about in a way, but I do. But, you know, I'm not a, it's not my job in this vaccine world. So it's harder for them to get to people like us because, we're these rogue anti-vaxxers, I guess.
rogue anti-vaxxers. Yeah.
And that's the other thing that.
I'm a baby killer.
Well, I mean, like, we're screwing around with a $1 trillion business, Adam.
Yeah, it's
if adult vaccinations come in, you're looking at trillions of dollars, and
the adult vaccination register.
You know, there's a lot of us around the world, but not, you know, like it's people like us that really are, you know, and it's hard. I think of the pharmaceutical executives are sitting in these offices going and talking about us. Like, that's what we're doing.
Setting us against each other, of course.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they can. And I mean, these people they've got all the money in the world, so they can hire ex-intelligence, and, you know, like, that would have, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're tapping all our phones, and they, you know, like, it's, I mean, the way that the pharmaceutical industry and corporate interests in general have influence over government, I don't doubt for a second they got the same influence over the intelligence community and over, you know, certain parts of the police network and all that kind of stuff. So I don't doubt it for a second that they could easily, just a pharmaceutical company or pharmaceutical interest could tap our phones. Don't doubt it. I don't think it's the government necessarily. I think it's, you know, the corporate interest behind it would, you know, just say like, oh, we're interested in these people and just go after those people, please. Mm-hmm. And they would, because that's how much influence they have over government. So that's how much influence they have over them too. I mean, we have to be realistic in that sense. And, think we're not doing anything illegal yet, but if we don't change something soon, I mean, maybe in you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, we might be all called terrorists, you know. And
it's we'll getting that way.
Yeah, like yeah, I don't know. But
well, that's the thing with the push for the vaccines. It's not so much that they're compulsory, but they're making life almost impossible to live day to day without having been vaccinated, and that's what's going to happen, because this could very well come in. I've already said this. The adult vaccination register is in place, so this could very well come into every single job. If you're not vaccinated, you will not have a job, and that's clear. And I'm seeing them bringing this new laws in for every newborn baby in Australia as well. And, yeah, you know, even things like driver's license, travel in and out of Australia, you need vaccine, need to be on that register.
You know how it works in Australia when you're going to, I know you travel a bit, and when you get back to Australia, they spray the cabin. And I went to Europe not long ago, and my wife, obviously having autoimmune, she's susceptible to these kind of things. And she was fine on the plane. We did three flights from Europe. Got into Australia, I was completely fine, and we're in the car back home, and she starts having these spots on her arm, and she had these massive allergic reactions, hive kind of things on her body that just popped up out of nowhere. And I reckon it was just like, because we know they spray these planes before they open the doors to kill off germs or whatever they do, I don't know. But yeah, it was very shocking, to be honest. And took pictures of it. And
I've noticed that too, coming back just the last time when we were overseas, they're questioning people about being vaccinated, you know. Hearing it from people just working in office jobs, in warehouses.
Went to South America, so they would have, like, you know, been more. I mean, we just went to Europe, which is safe in that sense of, like, you know, infectious diseases, I guess. But, if you go to places like Southeast Asia or Africa or South America, they probably would be very wary about you coming into Australia, which I've had in the past. I flew in from South Africa once years ago, and this was before I was really into this issue, but they asked me about, like, did you get a malaria shot? And, you know, you have to be very careful. That's all they said back then. Like, I'll just make sure that if you get these symptoms, you go see a doctor. All right, we're out. No worries, man. But that was, you know, probably, 12 years ago. So, it's a...
You can see them bringing it in easily, though, you know, for travel. I mean, why would you bring in an adult vaccination register if you weren't planning on vaccinating all adults? I mean, that's why it's now in place.
The measles outbreak in Sydney, which was, I think it's 4 people, so really, is that an outbreak?
The Murdoch media love that.
4.3 million people?
That's an apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's a measles apocalypse.
But it's 4.3 million people. There's 4 people in 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, they got the measles. From one person that came from overseas. Now, there's an article in the Truth Library about that as well, and actually states that the World Health Organization, you know, a year ago, wrote about Australia, that Australia's completely safe, and it was because the way they can handle an influx from measles from an overseas country. And it actually stated that if a person with the measles comes in from overseas, the healthcare system and the emergency system and the way they report this stuff is so good that it would never come to an outbreak. And that's exactly what happened. So the Murdoch media then took this and said, oh, we got an outbreak, it's the end of time. But really, if you read this article, what it actually says is that the World Health Organization said that this is exactly what should have happened and that this is exactly what a country that has no outbreaks of the measles should do and that nobody died. So in the end of the day, there was no news there. But they created this massive story out of it that four people out of 4.3 million people got the measles. And everybody, and oh, this person went to the CBD. And oh, this person was in public transport. And oh my God, everybody on a train is going to fear that they got the measles now.
It's a zombie outbreak, a zombie movie.
It's just like, I can't believe that people
are fear-mongering.
It's just, yeah.
Fear controls people.
We should fear probably
controls people. Yeah,
it's. We can talk for hours, but maybe we'll do another one in the future.
We will. Yeah, fear is a very important tool that they use against people. And fear's like drowning, you know, when you're drowning and you're not thinking and you're in fear, you're going to go down like a rock to the bottom of the ocean, you know. So you need to be clear headed and think about what's going on and look at the information they're presenting and step back and think about it for yourself. The problem is that too many people are letting these newspapers do the thinking for them, and that is very dangerous. And that's why I would say that these newspapers are the biggest threat to our way of life in this country that we've ever had.
The media is the...
It's an extreme threat.
In Australia, it's probably the worst that I've ever seen, and I've travelled quite a bit.
It's really bad.
It's the way they control the narrative is, and that's what we said in the beginning, there is no alternative media here of any kind. And I really hope that someday you and me, you know, and some other guys that are doing this stuff, we'll get to a point where we can actually be a bit of an influence, but...
Might disappear into some black vans.
It's disgusting how Australia had a media reports on stuff. And that was my last eye-opener video that I just posted before we started talking. Is about how a democracy is built on four pillars, and the fourth pillar is supposed to be the press, controlling and... We're actually checking that what the other three pillars, which are, you know, legislative, executive, and judicial, are doing their job right for the people. And we're missing that in Australia completely, pretty much in every democracy in the world at this point. And without that, without having those four pillars working the way they should be, we can't call what we have a democracy. It's not democracy anymore. And people need to start seeing that what we have is not democracy. They call it democracy, and they tell you it's democracy, and they tell you you got freedom, but really, it's nothing like that. It's
they're telling you what fascism. Yeah, that's right.
It's a very loaded word, but that's what it is. If you look at the definition of it, it's kind of what we're going to: police state fascism.
I was just looking, before we pack it up, I was looking at a Vaccination Matters flyer from Queensland that I put up, and it's unbelievable. It's Queensland Government, Vaccination Matters, and it says facts. Vaccination does not cause SIDS, autism, allergies, or asthma. This is an actual government document, and it's saying here to check your source information.
I had a troll tell me the other day that because it's on a vaccine insert doesn't mean that it actually causes that. And I was like, well, why is it on a vaccine insert?
You didn't read it. It didn't happen.
Because, you know, some people said they got that while they were testing it.
You're dreaming.
Is that the whole idea of it? But that's why you test? So, you know, like, oh, but you could be in a car crash too. But yeah, well, are car crashes on the vaccine insert? No, but they were reported in the thing. I said, are they on the vaccine insert? No, but they were reported. Yeah, but are they on the vaccine insert? No. So they say that the death part on some of these vaccines is because people had a car accident. And I was like, yeah, no. It's so hard to have these discussions, and that's why you just shouldn't have them.
They're actually telling you how to think now. They're saying this document says, ensure your decisions about immunization are based on fact. Yeah, the fact that we tell you. And when doing your personal reading, make sure your source of information is based on scientific fact. And beware of misguided and misleading yet compelling information about immunization on the internet. So this is Jill Hennessy's hippies on the internet thing. It's just getting unbelievable what's happening now.
And hopefully people are still switched on enough, you know, to see. Like, I mean, to me, it's so clear that they're bullshitting. But I mean, I don't know how many people, you know, like. Yeah, to me, like, if I was a new father now and I was not into conspiracies whatsoever and I was reading all this stuff, I would still, like, have alarm bells go off because they're pushing it so hard. So it's just, you know, like, it's almost like if you push something this hard, there must be something wrong with it. You know, it can't be right. It's just, yeah.
Scary stuff.
Mm.
But we just keep moving forward and keep pushing our information out as long as we're able, because it's getting pretty serious here. We encourage everybody to try and do the same, anything you can. I'm trying to encourage people just on Facebook to put up sort of posts or blog articles, and we'll turn them into posts and put them on the websites, you know,
anywhere we can. I'll put the word out there, and I'll put it out again on the Truth Library. If anybody's got a great story they want to write,
absolutely,
write it, and I'll put it out there. And if you want to do it anonymously, we can do it anonymously. I've moved the Truth Library to a server in Iceland, and so it won't be going down because of bushy people.
Yeah, mine's overseas as well.
Yeah, so, Iceland's great like that. You need an Icelandic court order to get side down, and that's not easy to get because they've got true freedom of speech. So, I'm pretty happy with being there. And, I'm all open to, giving people a platform to write their stories on and get this stuff out there. And it's not just vaccines, it's a lot of other stuff as well. It's
some people are writing really good articles, really well done. So we encourage them to if that's what you want to do, put some articles out and put them up in the media and try and get some other people getting blogs and websites. And it's amazing what's happening on social media alone. I mean, God knows how many thousands and thousands of people are in these groups. So it's it's really amazing, and we need to get all these fence sitters on board now if they care about their health freedom. As, Graham Little said, more than half, 10 million, 11 million Australians use natural supplements of some kind, whether it's vitamin C, whether it's glucosamine, whether it's fish oil. People use those supplements, and they don't want to lose their freedom of choice to use those supplements.
It's yoga,
whatever it is, oxygen therapy.
You can't tell me that people don't, the benefit of chiropractic is absolutely massive. To me, it has made such a difference, you know.
And, with us as well and our child, we have a local chiropractor who our baby girl now has the most beautiful skull because of him, you know. Everyone comments on it, and he did fantastic work, so gentle.
You know? One of my daughters was constipated. And, 3 appointments at a chiropractor.
That's right. We saw an osteopath with that, just a bit gas and stuff, and helped it straight away. She was going to the toilet. I was just putting up the article that Graham posted today about the, just before we go again, but the Herald Sun has come out and attacked Novak Djokovic for using controversial chamber treatment, they call it, but it's just oxygen. They're attacking tennis player Novak
Djokovic. That's because Hennessy
doesn't like the oxygen therapy now, so Minister Hennessy doesn't like you having oxygen, people.
It's just oxygen. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's poisonous. You've got to have your vaccines. Breathing in pure oxygen is going to interfere with vaccine uptake.
I know, but it's like Djokovic has been doing this. I mean,
players
in America use this. It's proven to oxidize your cells.
The guys doing oxygen therapy in Melbourne before the Australian Open, and the Murdoch media are attacking him, saying it's dangerous. Unbelievable.
And I'm hoping for more of that, because in the end, the more they do this stupid ass, people will start seeing through the bullshit. You can't tell me that people won't see through the bullshit.
I mean, do you get anyone fitter than Novak Djokovic? The guy's the number one tennis player in the world. I mean, have a look at the guy. He's unbelievable, and they're telling him it's dangerous to get oxygen.
it's funny because apparently the Aussies don't like it. And, because they've been told that it's bad. And,
It's just going into a, you know, hyperbaric chamber.
Essendon team, you know, used to use it a little bit, the AFL team, and I'm not knowing much about that story, but, you know, used to use it, and in a year that they won all those games in a row, they were there, and so, I mean...
It's just attacking all forms of natural therapy, aren't they?
That it actually, you know, significantly improves your... time to recover, your recovery time.
Well, you can see in this article they're talking about him using controversial chiropractor Malcolm Hooper's Hypermed clinic in South Yarra. So, ooh, an evil chiropractor. Well, is, that's the giving one, people that, oxygen.
Yeah. It's the only one in Victoria. And I've actually been there once and sat there for a while. And the amount of people that come in there with cerebral palsy that think that it's really working and it is working for these people is amazing. So, you know, like that's a whole different story and maybe for next time, but it's proven to, you know, it really enhance people's lives when they have these debilitating conditions. So, yeah.
Evil.
Why not is my question.
It's evil.
Why not?
Well, the Murdoch papers, now the Courier Mail are attacking mothers for breastfeeding, and they're saying that women, the anti-vaxxer community, are actually contributing to women wanting to breastfeed more.
Yeah, it's
people think that's a joke.
Again, people have to start seeing that this is bullshit. I mean, if people don't start seeing that this is bullshit, then, like, yeah, I think I just have to give up on humanity in a way, because this is the end of humanity then. Because if people don't understand what is happening, then humanity is not going to be around for a long time the way we are now. We're just going to end up as, like, an artificial intelligence, robotic kind of species, I guess, that is controlled in a way. I think that that's what they're aiming for, maybe. I don't know.
I'm wondering how low they can go. There it is, breastfeeding encourages anti-vax behaviour. So, you know, I said he sarcastically, anti-vaxxers are sending the wrong message by wanting women to breastfeed, but they're blaming Jackie Sinaton of the Courier Mail. Wants all mummies to stop breastfeeding and start vaccinating, I guess. But it's, you know, they're going to start blaming bad weather conditions on anti-vaxxers soon through the Courier Mail. So, you know.
Yeah.
God. I don't know how many Australians are still buying this rubbish, but, you know, they're a lost cause if they're still buying into this mind soup. We don't need them on board.
That's it. Oh, well.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll do one again soon.
This first podcast with you was a bit longer than we anticipated, but what we'll do is we'll do some more soon, these kind of truth opener ones that you're doing, and we'll just stick to 45 minutes and just really run through very fast all the latest things that are happening in Australia. Some other stuff, we'll stick to what's happening here so we can get that out to our listeners, because the reason why I like doing this a little bit is because I do a lot of dense podcasts with guests on books or whatever, and you tend to stick the same subject, but it's good to go over with someone like you, who also has a website, to go over recent articles and what's happening, and I think people enjoy that because they're working and they don't know what sort of news sources to get, so we can go through it for them and bring it up quite quickly and get it out there.
Yeah, no, it was great. Thanks for having me on.
Great. So truthlibrary.info, great website. I've got it up here. You can't see that, but I'll put that up on YouTube. That'll take all night. I'll just let it go and churn over, but I'll put this podcast up.
Internet in Australia is
mine's not too bad. I'll take it. I've had worse.
I'm going to be on this NBN soon, and then everything will be better. But,
yeah. I've decided to go with cable, which is pretty good, but not too bad. I'll take what I can get at the moment. But very good job, my friend. Keep putting out the information. I'll put this podcast up tomorrow morning because it's 10:30 at night now, and I'll send that through to you as soon as I put it up and spread it through your sections. And absolutely.
Yeah, we'll share it, and thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks very much, and we'll chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks, mate. See ya.
Okay, thanks to Bernie Smith. truthlibrary.info. I just noticed that my screen recorder wasn't picking up Bernie's voice properly. That sucks. I will compress this podcast down and whack it up on YouTube. Just keep going. Don't know why that is, but anyway, great show. Great to speak to Bernie. Hope our listeners enjoyed it. Please take care. Good night.
We've lots of stuff to do.